We'll be back in a moment. We'll continue to take your phone calls. We've still got one more hour to go to open lines. And don't forget the Doppelganger hotline at 818-817-0021. Back in a moment. And we'll have a full program for you on Memorial Day night. That'll be on Monday. We also have Travis Walton scheduled on Tuesday, best alien abduction case, I think, ever. And then Thursday, David Icke will join us, okay? I think David will be in London when we'll be chatting with him. So lots on tap. When I get back to Los Angeles the week after that, we'll start working on the dates for you in June for the 9/11 roundtable discussion. And also Richard C. Hoagland is putting together a God, Man, and E.T. roundtable discussion for us as well. So we've got lots on our plate for the month of June. And I'm glad you're with us. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, your turn on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hi, good morning, George.
Good morning
and,
to you.
In case I do, this is Beverly, and I'm calling from Glendale Heights, Illinois.
Yeah.
And in case I don't get to talk to you before your birthday, when is it? June what?
June 4.
June 4th. I wish you a pre-happy birthday. And I'm calling because of the brown recluse spider. You know, we have them in Illinois.
Oh, they're all over the place. Those things are horrible.
Yeah, well, I saw a discovery quite some time ago about Edgar Cayce. And in one of his trances, somebody had written him and said that his wife had this terrible sore in her leg. And it turned out that she had been bitten, and she was from Chicago. And he told her that this drugstore had this certain medicine behind a certain bottle on a certain shelf. So I'm thinking if you could get a hold of, is it the Institute of Noetic Science?
But you know what? You have got to be psychic yourself, because on Wednesday we have a member of Edgar Cayce's organization on the show. It's called the Association for Research and Enlightenment, ARE.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I figured that they would have this formula, whatever it is that Edgar Cayce had talked about, that cured this woman long distance.
This is a great organization. And, you know, if you become a member of their organization for a really a nominal fee, you can get all those Edgar Cayce, I guess you can call them a prescription, basically. All his remedies. You can get them all.
Oh, that'd be terrific. Yep. I don't have to, a computer.
Oh, and, you gotta get one.
Well, on my meager salary, I'm trying. I really am, because I'm missing so much, you know, of you and your people. And another thing I want to tell you is that I credit you and Art with a great spirituality that I have achieved through these years, and that I could never commit suicide as much as I want to.
You want to?
Yeah, what? I have wanted to and still do.
Why?
Horrible things in my life. And every day I learn more and more and more, and it's just horrible.
Well, you know the
but
old saying.
I will not. And absolutely will not, and anybody who is into this depression, and anyone who has been listening to you, knows that you go, I believe in reincarnation now. And the main reason I believe in reincarnation is billions of people have died in this world, and there isn't enough room on this earth for all the billions who have died. So we have to come back over and over again.
Absolutely.
And if I committed suicide, I have to come back right away, and I don't want to come back.
Plus, I don't want to lose any listeners, so you can't do anything like that.
Seriously, I am very, very serious about that, and I hope there are people listening right now that life has been very cruel. But Jesus said, take up your cross.
It's got its ups and downs, but there's always a light out there.
Oh, I'm trying every day.
It's always there. Hey, thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Well, that must be me.
Yes, it sure is.
Or it could be I. It's one of them.
Let's see. Is that I or is it? I think it's that. Is that me?
It's hard to know because I'm a Gemini too. anyway, twice the fun, half the price.
You got that right.
This is Scott. I'm in Imperial Beach, California.
Uh-huh.
And as far as the item that the guy said he was going to project, look behind you because he might be using rear projection.
I've been looking all over the place, and I don't see anything here.
Anyway, about 6 months ago, I sent you an email containing what I want to talk about tonight. It's a delightful story, and it's absolutely true, and it's had to do with a cemetery.
Okay, refresh me and go ahead.
Okay, when I was a kid, a very young kid, and I'll be 51 in a few weeks, I spent a lot of time with a great-great-aunt, and she was just a tremendous influence on my life. And then in the mid-60s, she was like 86 and I was like 12. There was a falling out between she and my parents, so I wasn't allowed to be in contact with her anymore. Well, anyway, she died in 1975, and about a year before that, I was able to sneak over and, you know, pay her one last visit. But I wasn't able to go to the funeral, okay? So anyway, I move out of the area where I was living at the time. And then in the early 90s, I decided on a visit to my hometown to go and visit her grave, okay? Now, I knew where the cemetery was, but like I say, I didn't go to her funeral, and I had no idea where in the cemetery she was.
Gotcha.
So my wife at the time and I were driving around. We couldn't even find the entrance to the cemetery. We ended up on a side street and went up a little path, which I guess was a utility path for the digging equipment. All right. So we walk about 30 feet down the path, you know, into the cemetery, when I stopped and I turned to my right, and honest to God, four headstones down was my great great aunt's grave.
Oh my.
Isn't that the most amazing
thing? It's a great story.
I mean, and to this day I don't know if I believe in people, you know, from the beyond contacting people who are still around here. But how would you explain that?
I believe that they do. I think they have ways to get you the information.
Well, she certainly keyed me right into where she was because we were literally lost. I mean, I grew up in this town and I knew the cemetery, but I had been there like once before, years and years before. And it just blew me away. My wife, she almost freaked out. She couldn't believe it, but she had heard all these stories over the years of how close I was to this woman and all the happy memories and stuff. And it just blew her away. I mean, we stood there and laughed and probably cried because we were both really blown away by it.
And when you walk away from that, you have to think there's some kind of connection there.
Well, I don't know how to describe it, but there must have been something.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi, you.
This is Sherry in Fort Worth.
Hi, Sherry.
I had a pretty strange experience about 15 years ago when I was first entering a permanent relationship. I was having problems committing, and I was having strange dreams, and I actually saw my doppelganger in a dream. I passed her in the hallway, and she was like my evil twin, and I, for some reason, grabbed her hair to stop her from going past a certain area and entering in my bedroom, and she just disappeared, but she had the most unbelievable angry look on her face. And
did she stare at you, or was she like going right past you with this snarl?
She stared at me.
When you grabbed her hair, could you feel it, or did it just go right through?
I could feel it. I could feel it on myself.
So and for a split second, she was physical for a moment.
Yeah. And then she was gone. And for a long time, I tried to find information anywhere I could on doppelgangers, and then I had a dream a couple years after that that basically let me know that that was myself trying to stop my evil self from making a mistake and not staying in the relationship.
Yeah, the doppelgangers. I've never heard of a doppelganger being a good entity by any means.
The evil look in my eyes, it was just this dark, unbelievable. And then when I woke up, I could feel my hair standing on end.
Well, I'm glad you did what you had to do.
Well, I had problems committing, and you know, that's kind of Freudian right there.
Well, you know, that happens. Hey, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to our other doppelganger hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. It's Oscar calling from the deep, dark.
Oh, my God. It's not you again. I thought you were gone. Everybody told me that they had exercised you.
No, George. I'm just debating who my next victim will be, George.
So you've left Rachel alone, Oscar?
Rachel's in Bismarck, George, North Dakota, and I really would like to visit her again, George.
Well, I have heard someone had found you and described what you looked like. Glowing red eyes, long dark hair. What are you?
George, you should have seen the shades of white on that man's face change when he saw the eyes of Satan.
Oscar, what do you want with people?
George, I'm evil. Evil will win.
No, I told you you won't win.
Oh, I will win, George.
Where have you been the last 3 weeks? Somebody suppressed you.
I have been in hell, George, with my father.
Well, what do you do? Summon you back? You've been a bad boy or what?
Yes, George, he has summoned me back. And I'm going to carefully select my next victim to possess, George.
Strong people can fight you off, Oscar. You know that. You know that secret, don't you?
All of all the exorcisms, George, two have been successful.
Ah, but it was one when you started on this program, Oscar. Now it's two. And there'll be three, and there'll be four, and there'll be many, many more.
Just because your Coast to Coast listeners prayed, that's the only reason Rachel and me are no longer together, George.
And you know what, Oscar? The next time you try to find another victim, they'll do the same thing to you.
You should have seen, George, what happened in the church when they performed the exorcism.
I heard all about it, Oscar, but it worked, didn't it? They got you.
There will be a next time, George.
Well, we'll be ready for you, Oscar. Just when I thought he was gone, or should I say it, shows up. But I do have to tell you, it does make the hair on my arm stand up. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, wow. George.
Isn't that guy creepy, whatever he is? My gosh, hi.
Yeah, he's very creepy.
He is. Who are you?
Yeah, my name's Diane.
Hi, Diane.
And I had a son in 1984, and I named him Micah. And the reason I named him Micah was because I loved that name. I watched that show, The Rifleman, when I was like 10, 11 years old.
How cool is that?
Yeah, and I always stuck in my head, and then Micah called in, and I thought, you know, and every time, you know, people meet my son, they go, I like that name. How'd you get that name? I go, well, do you guys remember The Rifleman? You know. I kind of date myself.
What's a middle name for a Micah, by the way?
His middle name is his father's middle name, Dale.
Okay, so that flows well.
Yeah, yeah, and his dad died when he was 7 months old. Yeah, so, but my son's 21 now. He's going into the Air Force, and he's a fine young man. And that, but I do want to share with you that when I was about, I had Micah when I was 34, but when I was 25, I was partying, doing psychedelics, this and that, and I came up pregnant, and I freaked out. I had an abortion, and months after that, or within a year, I had this dream one night, and there were two infants, and there was one on each ankle, like, you know, sitting at my feet on the bed.
Yeah.
And it was so vivid, and it was almost like they were seesawing. And that, and so, you know, I did abort that one child, but then, you know, 10 years later, I had my son, Micah. So it was like a wonderful miracle.
Well, and there's your second chance.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, exactly. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks, George.
Okay, it's not easy being a single mother when something like that happens to you. Wildcard Line, your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm doing great. After that Oscar call, though, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, well, the Lord's in charge, huh?
Yeah, I hope so, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to let you know about something that my grandfather taught me when I was a lot younger. We had a labyrinth set up in the woods back behind my house, and
Did he build it?
No, there's a monastery that was down the road, and supposedly they had built it back in the early 1900s. But it was in our woods, and there's a path that led back to it, and me and my grandfather would go back there probably, I'd say once every other week, something like that. And we'd always go at night, and my father, he didn't like the idea, but whenever I would stay over for the weekend with my grandfather, we would do this, and we would go back and after we'd walked the whole labyrinth, we'd kind of, there's a bench in the middle, and we'd sit down on the bench, and we'd just kind of fall into like a trance like state, and it was really weird. My grandfather's always told me about it, but once we got there and we'd walk the labyrinth, the trance-like state, we would be in constant contact with the grave, and we would sit on almost an immediate. We would go from the bench to being in a room, sitting at a table, and we would be surrounded by all of these doors, and there'd be some random grays in the room with us, and they would go in and out of the doors at random. And one time, me and my grandfather, we went through a door, and we just were outside of some building, and we walked into the building, and we were greeted by some soldiers, and this is when I was younger, but so I don't really remember that much about it, but I remember sitting across from Adolf Hitler. And
my, oh my.
It was my grandfather and him talked like they knew each other. My grandfather's father was part German, so he knew the German language, and so they would have conversations, and I would just kind of sit there. But
you and your grandfather experienced this together. So I mean, he would if he were to call today, and I don't know, he's probably not alive, is he?
No, he's passed away.
Okay, but if he were around and he called me today, would he be echoing the same story that you're telling me?
I believe so. He'd be more detailed because he knew the conversations and things.
Right. It's whatever happened to going through that labyrinth again? Have you ever been back there?
I do it every now and then.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
This is Steve in Lower Lake, California.
Hello, Steve. Thanks for calling.
I spoke with you last about 2.5 months ago. First of all, thank goodness for Oscar. What great radio.
Oh, he's unbelievable. Let's just hope he's either very real or very demented. I don't know which.
It's got to be one or the other.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, as far as supernatural and paranormal, I consider those both those words to be oxymorons, because obviously, if something exists, it's natural, and it's also normal. but of course, we use those words to talk about things that we don't yet understand. And I'm sure you'd agree with that.
I do.
Okay, fine. One thing I would like to beg you, I talked to you at the last time a couple of months ago about the...
You don't have to beg me.
Well, I'm not too proud to beg, George. I'll prove it to you. The soft tissue of the tyrannosaur that was found, and you told me you were going to have some kind of a guest on about that, and
we are still working. As a matter of fact, we had one guest who could not do it when I needed to do it, so we're still working on that.
Fantastic. Okay, now the main reason I called is the only really weird experience I've had in my life, which I totally understand, happened to me when I was a teenager. I was either a freshman or a sophomore in high school, and my mother knocked on my bedroom door to wake me up, you know, to get up to go to school.
Uh-huh.
And I sat up in bed, you know, just out of a sound sleep, and there on my door was about a 12-inch black and white striped insect. I mean, it was huge.
What kind? Was it like a praying mantis or
no,
what?
No, it was somewhat spider-like, but it was not a spider. It was just this incredibly huge black and white striped insect, and it was absolutely real. It was absolutely three-dimensional. It was there. Now, at this point in my life, I'm 55. I'm actually about 4 months younger than you. I mean, older than you. I don't kill anything that I can avoid killing.
I
catch it and let it outside. But in those days, I was terrified of things like that. So I looked away from it, and I got a big, thick, heavy book in my room, and I looked back, and there it was, real as could be. And I gradually approached it, and I carefully reached the book up, and I slammed the book onto it. And I know I didn't miss it. And I took the book away, and there was nothing there.
Nothing.
Now,
and what a horrible feeling, thinking for a moment he's loose in the room.
Well, the thing is, what I saw was I saw that because I was in what is called a hypnagogic or hypnagogic state, and a state between waking and dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that many of the things that people report to you, like they wake up and they see this at the foot of their bed or that, I think that could explain why they're seeing these things, because I know for a fact that that thing was not there, but I was just still in such state between waking and sleeping that it was so real. I remember it vividly to this day after all these decades, and it's the only time anything like that has ever happened to me. But, I know for a fact that such things can happen, because it did, in fact, once happen to me.
Absolutely. Did it look like it was some kind of species from another dimension?
No. It was just a figment of my mind.
Well, let me tell you.
There was nothing actually there, but yet it looked absolutely three-dimensionally real.
You created one heck of a insect in your mind. Doppler line. How there? Welcome to the program.
Hi, is it me?
It is. Hi.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was calling. My husband, who is still alive, seems to be haunting his parents' home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a little strange. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you my name. I'm Shelley from Tennessee.
That's okay, Shelley. Now, tell you, your husband, who's still alive, is still haunting your relative's home.
He's haunting his parents' home.
Okay.
How
do we know that? Tell me about this story.
There was one time when I called him. We used to work a late-night shift at a restaurant, and I called him. He was still sleeping. His father called downstairs to tell his mother to wake him up and tell him I was on the phone, and his mother said he's already upstairs getting ready for work. His father said, okay. So his father checked upstairs and said, no, he's not up here. And his mother went and checked his room, and he was still asleep.
And there he was.
Yeah, but she swears. She swore on a stack of Bibles that she saw him walk by her with his clothes to go upstairs and get ready for work.
That's a doppelganger. Now, when you talk, see, they're either very mean or mischievous, prankster types. Did this thing do anything like that?
Not that she's mentioned. He didn't do anything to her. Just walked by like he was going upstairs, you know.
How many episodes of this doppelganger showing up?
There was another one where his brother had a friend spending the night. Again, saw him walk by, go upstairs to go to the bathroom, and his, brother's friend is playing a video game, and he's waiting for my husband to get out of the bathroom, and after 15 minutes or so, he asks my husband's brother, when's your brother getting out of the bathroom? And his brother says, my brother's not even home.
Did your husband ever say he saw his doppelganger?
No, he's never seen it.
Well, that's it.
His brother's friend has seen it. His sister has seen it and his mother has seen it.
See, that's beginning to become the norm here, where more people see it than the actual person. And again, I'm beginning to think that's a good thing. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yeah, this is I'm John from Northern California.
Hi, John.
Yeah, I just want to see. I think that this Oscar creature, whatever he is.
Whatever it is, yeah.
I think he just feeds on fear. So don't give in to fear.
Oh, I never will, and I'm sure most of our listeners won't.
You know, I'm not afraid of him, you know.
We'll gang up on him if we have to.
But, yeah, anyways, you were wondering, you asked a question about the force shield around the Earth.
Well, my guest last night, Michael Tessarian, claims that there's a shield that was put there a long, long time ago by extraterrestrials.
Well, I do remember I was trying to put up a force shield. I originally put one up like 3 years ago.
Where'd you put it?
Around the Earth.
You did this? The whole planet?
The whole planet. But because I was praying for world peace, I wanted to stop the war. With this, I started when the war in Iraq started.
Well, let me ask you something. You think it's working?
I don't know. I mean, it hasn't been working. I guess maybe I overshot. I was trying to get a force shield in between the soldiers and to disable and disarm the guns to keep people from killing people. But apparently I overshot and put a force shield around the whole Earth.
Are you tuned in enough where you thought that you were going to succeed?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I had a feeling there was a chance of success and a chance of failure.
Well, keep trying. That's the important thing. And speaking of trying, we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, final segment. So let's go right back to the calls. We'll pick it up by going to our wildcard line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, Darlene here from
Hi.
Alhambra.
Hello, Darlene here.
Hi. I just want to thank you and Art for scaring me to death. One night, you had on EVPs. I don't know what it was. It was voices from the graves or something to that effect. And I put on all the lights in my house. I don't scare very easily, but you did it to me. I give you credit. That night, I don't know how to get even, but, I mean, I was never so scared. There was one, it was a man and a woman went into a prison, and there was a voice from a grave.
Yes.
And the man said, back. To back. We were lined up back to back. And I was sitting there by myself with three dogs on my bed, and I got up and I put on all the lights in my house. I will tell you, I'll thank you, but I don't thank you. You know?
You know what? The ones that get to me are the voices of the kids, the ghost kids.
Yes.
Those are eerie.
Yes. Well, the whole thing, and you played it all night long. And I was dumb enough to listen to the whole thing. I couldn't turn it off. And then I had to go see the movie. I begged a friend to take me to that white noise.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I just missed Michael Keaton. He was in St. Louis, and I was going to try to capture him to get him on the show.
Right. Well, it was beautiful. I thank you. I'm just kidding around, but I mean, I don't get scared very easily, but that did it for me, boy. Those voices, you know, I believe in a lot of things. I'm Roman Catholic, and I believe in a lot of things, you know, the miracles and the saints and all of it. But that did it for me.
Well, they keep coming back. Hey, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. And that most recent one probably was on a Saturday show with the Ghost Investigators. that Art had on. But we have them, and we have a couple other groups that provide us with these great EVP sounds, these voices. And, but I'm telling you, the kids, those are the eerie ones. You know, there was one that went, you know, like, Mommy, I'm here, and stuff like that. And those are just eerie. East of the Rockies, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. Thanks for calling.
How's it going, George?
Good.
Listen, I wanted to share a story with you that happened a long time ago. All of us Geminis. I just turned 48. Have you ever heard of the Goat Man?
The Goat Man?
The Goat Man from Texas.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Well, I was at Camp Amon Carter, right there on Lake Worth, and right there outside of Fort Worth, and I was in between 6th and 7th grade. Well, all the publicity around it, we hadn't really heard because we were in camp. You know, they weren't really telling us about it. You know, we're just kids. And we decided one night we were going to sneak out. So we snuck out of our cabins, and we went out into the woods, and we started smelling a skunk, you know, like a strong skunk smell.
Horrible smell, by the way.
Big time. You know, you smell them out in the country. I'm in the country right now, beautiful night.
Yeah.
And we're walking down the path. There's three of us, and it's about 2:30 in the morning. And lo and behold, there's this big, white, furry thing about 10 yards in front of us. And people who doubt that there's things out there, there are. I'm a logical person, but this thing was real. It wasn't anybody in a suit or anything else. It was real, and we stood there.
How big was it?
About 8 foot tall.
Oh, my.
It was white. It was white, and it was dirty. You know what I'm saying? Its skin was dirty. Its hair was dirty, but it didn't look like a giant ape or anything. It looked like just a big, hairy guy. Scared the bejesus out of us. We just literally just stood there in shock, you know, and then just like it just stood and looked at us for like 30 seconds and turned and walked off. Didn't make any noise, just kind of lumbered off. And, you know, even being a young kid, it always left a really good impression on me. You know what I'm saying? I've seen UFOs and all kinds of weird things, but that left about the best impression on me that these things are real. You know,
sounds like an albino Bigfoot.
There's been one picture of it. It's online. I found it about a year ago. I was just thinking about it. I thought, you know, I'm going to look up and see if there's anything about the Goat Man. And sure enough, it was online. There was a picture of this big white thing, you know. Well, the next night, we were sneaking out to go to the drive-in that was down the road. We wanted to, like, get up on the hill and look at the movies. And there was a bunch of people gathered down in a bowl draw, parked and partying and stuff like that. And this thing showed up and threw a truck tire over everybody's head. I don't care how big a person is. There's no way they could do that. You know what I mean? So we literally just took off, and we got caught that night and got in trouble. But we did see it. It was real.
So the thing has a temper, huh?
Yeah, it was making a lot of noise then.
Our guest last night believes that these are the genetic mistakes in creatures that were created by these extraterrestrials that came here 30 to 50,000 years ago. And you know what? You might be right. Wildcard Line, you're up on the program. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I really enjoyed your guest last night. I thought he was really good. I hope you have him on again soon.
Yeah, he pops on at least once a year.
Oh, it's good. He made a comment about the Nephilim, and I had, I tell you, I had this old Bible, and it was really old. I don't have it today. I wish I did. But when I read about that part about in Genesis, it had about the Nephilim was evil, and it said the sons of God, the supernatural sons, when they mated with the women, they had children, and they were the ones that were legends of renown. They were the good ones. So there is good. Like you asked if there would be some, you know, God would put good ones out. Well, he did.
Sure.
But I wanted to ask you about, he made a comment about, like, in Iraq, there were entities that were still around and they want to uncover, they want to bring them back to life.
He claims that they're in some kind of suspended animation and they are buried somewhere. And he claims that that's one of the reasons we're over there. It's pretty far-fetched theory.
I know. I thought, wow, like that is, I hope he's back on again and has some more on this.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he's finishing up on another book, so I'm sure we'll get him back on.
Okay, great show, George.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. Time for a couple more, maybe. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Hi there.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good, sir. Not bad.
This is the rotten little kid who scared his babysitter.
Oh, yes. That was you. That was a great story.
I had you laughing really sincerely.
Yes, you did.
I think that was great. Well, as you recall, I told you that I'd always considered myself the luckiest man in the world, and still do, even though I'd lost everything I had.
That's right. You had $400,000, $500,000, and some broker gave you the bum advice.
Yep. Had me in a margin account when I had gotten injured at work, and they had me so full of stuff I didn't know who I was.
Unbelievable. You're out in Hawaii now, right?
Yep. And like I said, getting evicted at the end of this month.
We're still praying for you.
Before, sometime in the 90s, I never did not get a job I applied for. Since sometime in the 90s, I don't.
You're not getting anything.
I mean, I go there, I lay out, you know, my CV and everything. And, hey, they're impressed. They love it. They want me next week. And then I never.
And they don't call you back. And you have, like, a librarian experience, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a certified librarian, among other things.
Is that the kind of job you're looking for?
Oh, that would be delightful. But it's hard fought for, and to be a full, I could be, because I've worked as a certified librarian in another state for 2 years, and
I have a bachelor of science degree,
but most
do me
time
a favor.
I need to have a master's to be a librarian here.
Put a number 8 in your wallet, and let's see what happens to you.
I've had one of those in there ever since that night.
And still nothing?
Still nothing, but, you know, hey, like I said, it's the greatest free roller coaster ride in the universe.
You got that right. We got to take a run because, you know what? It is over. The weekend is here.